everybody. I'm Kelly Ellers.
I'm Jeffrey London.
And this is Volume Up by the Tees. So here in the Midwest, Jeff, there is, you know, like we're rounding out some of the sports seasons.
Yes. Yes, I understand.
And I was just glossing over the New York Times. Mm-hmm. And there was actually an article about said sport, hockey being one of them.
Sure.
And specifically at the Minnesota State Hockey Tournament, outrageously coiffed high school stars compete for the best, quote, salad and flow. It is titled Permanent Lettuce, a pageant of hockey hair.
Permanent lettuce?
Have you ever heard of those terms in regards to hair?
Not in my life. Not. I mean, there's been the food terminology, I guess, is not foreign to me, but this specific lettuce?
Yes, it's a thing. Like the state tournament.
Salad and flow?
Yes.
Flow, I understand the concept of. Like, I got that. But how does salad and lettuce specifically factor in here?
So it's basically the top of your head is like your salad or like the lettuce. So think of it as a big iceberg, mm-hmm. you know, the round.
Yeah.
And then it's like, boop, on the top. Like, it's all the flow and the salad up there. And so it's not just a mullet or a flow, you know, the long hair that's pouring out of your helmet.
Uh-huh.
But it has to do with the whole look. And it's all the rage. In fact, there is an individual or a site called Pull Tab Sports that does essentially an all hockey hair team sponsored by Duke Cannon, where they basically pick the best salad and flow of all of the Minnesota State players and put them into a team based on their hair.
Wow.
And I love this on so many levels. Your face is saying that you might not, but
I'm looking at these pics. I mean, the additional dimension that for this New York Times story, mm-hmm. that we left out is that this team had also bleached.
Oh yes.
Their salads. So it's like
a buttery salad. So salad is hockey talk for hair again. So is lettuce. And so like you would say, that's a great head of lettuce.
It's coming together.
I'm so glad that I could teach you all of the
This is
Midwest ways.
Not for me. I do appreciate, again, like we've said, getting weird with hair, mm-hmm. all about that. So I can get with it, but I'm having some trouble.
Yeah. And the problem is like we've got like leopard spot dudes, mm-hmm. we've got a full lettuce salad flow, mm-hmm. but nobody is using toner in these photos. Nobody has toned.
Not a one.
They left it on not quite long enough. This is kitchen hair.
Yeah.
And so we need you to go to the pros.
Yeah. Kitchen hair with the salad and the. Yeah. 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 If somebody could make this really cool, this could be like a really fun editorial shoot.
Oh,
but
maybe we should make this happen.
Maybe we sponsor this team.
Us, Duke Cannon, maybe little Andis clippers and trimmers up in there.
Yeah.
Some Olivia Garden brushes. Like, here we are.
Yeah. Let's make this happen. I think we can make this right. it's not right as of now, I would say.
It's not right, but we will link in their show notes, the Pull Tab Sports.
Yeah.
It is a YouTube video, again, sponsored by Duke Cannon, who should also sponsor us, and the 2024 Minnesota State All Hockey Hair Team.
Wow. So. Wow. Learning all sorts of things. I mean, you can't say that we don't give on this podcast. We are really, you know.
We're digging deep into the beauty news.
Digging deep, giving so much.
One that's been on the top of our mind is a little brand called Sacred.
Might have heard of it.
We know that Beyonce and her mother launched this a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have a little bit of a beef here on the Tees, talking about sort of the celebrity pop-up collections brands. Mm-hmm. But we want this one to be different, right?
I mean, what I'm encouraged by is, let's back it up. We know that people were not... They were skeptical, we'll say, of this brand. For good reason, a lot of celebrity beauty slash hair brands have been garbage.
Yeah.
This turns out maybe not so. We're getting the stamp of approval from professional stylists, which we love to see. USA Today, we're seeing that there is a big feature with a specific hairstylist talking all about why she liked it. What did you find from that article?
Yeah, I loved it. I love, you know, even down to the minutiae of the packaging, which is a textured bottle. Mm-hmm. And there's many things which I'll talk about, but the packaging beside it being beautiful, also that texture allows for no slip when the hands are wet, which is like, that's a double click in right there.
That's genius.
And so we see you, Beyonce and Tina, because we're on first name basis with them both.
Obviously. Yeah. No, I mean, what I was encouraged by, obviously, this article, which is exciting, but some of the friendlies to Volume Up and the teas, our pros that are out there also sampling Sacred, also having good, positive things to say about the product. So shout out to Brendetta Ashley in particular. She posted a lot about having used Sacred, liking a lot of the different product offerings, and I'm excited. So, I mean, I was already convinced.
Yeah, you are.
I mean, I'm currently wearing a Beyonce Renaissance World Tour t-shirt.
Mother is mothering you.
Yeah, mother's mothering. But I gotta say, I'm into it. I'm willing to try. What about you?
I'm willing to try it too. I mean, it's beautiful just even in the shower on itself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're saying it's got shea butter, various African oils, hyaluronic acid, collagen, and a patent-pending bioactive keratin ferment, which I have never heard of. And so again, appreciate the deep dive into the ingredients, the packaging, the aesthetic, and certainly the marketing.
I mean, God, if you're going to come to the market, you might as well come correct. And it looks like Sacred's done that.
We knew they would. All right. So this week we're talking with Jesse Dean. Jesse's passion for character development, along with a highly developed sense of style, color, and form, have garnered her a budding career as a head hair designer for major film and television productions. So Jesse was most recently the department head of hair on National Geographic's critically acclaimed genius, MLKX, which chronicled how the early lives of Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X shaped the iconic figures. Make sure you subscribe, rate and review, and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok at Read the Tees, and send in questions to volumeup@thetees.com.
Do it. Now let's talk beauty news. Our editorial team is deep diving to get you the inside scoop from trending celebrity looks to the newest products and the biggest events happening week to week. Let's talk hair, beauty, culture. First up, from our friends at the Multicultural Beauty Insider, grant money for beauty businesses. Beauty business owners face a myriad of challenges and roadblocks when it comes to securing funds to improve or scale their businesses. Costs can quickly add up as entrepreneurs attempt to stay on top of the latest technology, changing client preferences, promotion and advertising opportunities, inventory requirements, facility or equipment repairs and enhancements, and more. Financial industry data reveals that Black and BIPOC business owners are challenged the most, receiving less financing or none at all, less often, and at higher rates than their counterparts. An option for these entrepreneurs to consider is grant funding. More foundations and corporations are creating grant programs specifically to help launch, grow, or scale Black, BIPOC, and women-led businesses without the owners giving up equity or taking on debt. Head to thetees.com to find some of the grant resources that are currently seeking applicants over the next couple of months. Beauty business owners are welcome and encouraged to apply. I am obsessed with this from the Multicultural Beauty Insider.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you take advantage if you could?
100%. I mean, there's a long list of them on our.com.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even from, we talked about Beyonce and Sacred, there's a Baygood student scholarship,
which we've talked about. Yep.
There's a Baygood foundation, Her Rise. I'm not going to give them all away, but this is a no-brainer and the applications are coming due soon. So check it out on thetees.com. Next up. So I rocked unintentionally disco curls.
You see, I mean,
and it's like, ooh, it's too close. It's so good. But disco curls and waves are currently trending, and these hair care products are key to achieving the look. Ready to boogie. I don't know if I'm a boogie-er.
Sure you are. I mean, you've got disco hair now.
I do. The hair world is officially in its disco era with larger-than-life curls and waves back in a big way for spring and summer, which we love a big curl over here.
Mm-hmm.
With the resurgence of this popular 70s hair trend, it's almost as if we've been transported back to Studio 54. Holy smokes, I can't imagine what that was like, where hair was bigger, bouncier, and bolder than ever. Despite only being a few months into 2024, we've already seen quite a few of celebrities give off some major disco queen energy with their hair, from Blake Lively and Kiernan Shipka to Sweetie. Considering that this voluminous style looks good on nearly everybody and makes such a serious statement, don't be surprised to see this trend stick around for quite a bit. For anyone hoping to tap into the disco era with some supersized curls and waves, you'll be happy to know that this retro look is easier to achieve than you may think. With the right products in your arsenal, like Babyliss Pro's newly revamped nano titanium 1-inch curved styling iron and some good volumizers, you can have big, bountiful curls and waves in no time. Head to thetease.com to find out all about the incredible products that you need to achieve the disco hair of your dreams. Jeff, I've got a question. With these larger than life curls coming to the forefront, it begs the question, when will your curls, your luscious curls, come back to grace their presence? I think it's time you joined the disco era. And secondly, did you have a trick to make them so perfectly coiffed, coiffed?
You know, this is so funny. I don't know that they're ever going to make an appearance.
No.
My hair is just not as thick as I'd like it to be.
Okay.
And I feel like when it's longer, it is more obvious that it's not as thick.
Okay.
So it's like a mental thing.
Yeah.
But I do like that you like the curls. I like the curls too. I've got hair envy, not for disco curls, but I feel so stupid for saying this, but I don't care. Dune Part 2. Timothy.
Okay. Yep. Okay. I won't laugh.
Timothy Chalamet's hair. He's a fucking hair god.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're an explicit podcast.
We are.
Like, the hair is so good. The hair is so good. Like, those, and I'm like, every scene, I'm like,
you just want to run your, just.
Damn. It's so, like, again, it's not on the cards for me. It's not, I don't think that it's something that I could do, but I want it for myself. So there's that. I'm too damn old.
I feel like when we first met, it was squarely in the cards.
I know. It was. Mm-hmm. I could have had it, you know? And I was like, here we are. The problem is my wife's hair is curlier.
Yes.
Thicker. And it really gives me a complex. I can't compete.
Okay. All right. R.I.P. curls.
But I
do. R.I.P. Yeah. Jeff's curls. Okay.
Thank you so much to our wonderful editors for this week's beauty news. And don't forget to check out more stories like these on thetease.com.
Next up, our interview with Jesse Dean.
Chicago native Jesse Dean's passion for character development, along with a highly developed sense of style, color, and form, has garnered her a budding career as head hair designer for major film and television productions. Jesse was most recently the department head of hair for National Geographic's critically acclaimed Genius, MLKX, which chronicled how the early lives of Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X shaped the iconic figures. Jesse was also the hair department head on Nia DaCosta's Candyman, produced by Jordan Peele's Monkey Paw, as well as Apple TV Plus's The Shining Girls, starring Elizabeth Moss, Hulu's Washington Black, Netflix's Beats, Starz's Power Book 4, Force, and CBS's The Red Line. Coming up, Jesse will design MGM's Emperor of Ocean Park, starring Forest Whitaker, based on the best-selling novel by Stephen L. Carter. Jesse is the founder of her eponymous human hair extension brand, which offers a full range of custom wigs and hair pieces. She's a member of the local 476 and an alumnus of both the Pivot Point and Dudley Cosmetology schools. Jesse, welcome to the Volume Up Podcast. How's it going?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, we are so excited to talk with you today. So much to cover. But for our podcast listeners who maybe are not familiar with your work, how the heck did you get to the entertainment side of hairstyling?
Whew. Okay. Do we have time?
We've got time. We got it. We want to hear it too. Come on.
Okay. Let's see. Well, first and foremost, you know, I just got to shout out God in this moment, if you give me a minute, because for a kid like me, a young lady like myself with aspirations of hairstyling, you know, playing with baby dolls and eventually wondering how could I possibly land into the entertainment industry without any means. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't have any resources from where I came from, the south side of Chicago. We didn't have those outlets. So I just dreamt. And, you know, when I would hear of, you know, salons that catered to, you know, known figures, you know, political figures, celebrities of the like, you know, I, you know, apply. And I did. I applied to a salon in my town, and it was AJ's, the salon. I'll go and shout it out. He's not open now, but if you're from Chicago, you know, you've heard of AJ's. And so, yeah, I applied there, and the rest is history. From there, you know, I met a producer, unbeknownst to me at the time. I didn't know that I was doing a producer for the Oprah Winfrey Show at that time. And you know, her hair was, she loved her hair and spread the word. And then one job led to the next and then led to the next.
And here we are.
And here we are.
No, in an incredible role. So you are the hair department head for Genius MLKX.
Yes.
How the heck did this happen? I mean, you talked one job led to the next. We've heard a little bit about this from others that have joined us in the podcast, but it's always a lot when you are at the very helm of a project. So I'm curious, how did this production come together and how did you get involved?
Well, interviewed for one. And, it was presented to me and it was a story that I immediately, felt compelled to tell, and I was hoping that, I landed the position and I did, I interviewed, got the job and dove into research and yeah.
Wow. So talk to us a little bit about the preparation for this. I mean, how did you go into conceptualizing some of these looks? I mean, you've got iconic figures on the show over time. So it's not just one point in history. I'm curious, like, what all went into the sort of thinking behind how this would come together?
Research, 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 I'm a lover of libraries. So I landed there first. I still love to thumb through pages, actual pages of books. And so I landed there. I watched, tons of documentaries at that time. I visited my local DuSable Museum. And would sit there and gather pictures and really hone into the time and the script and what I felt would really speak to the moments, because our script really wanted to capture these iconic figures for their personal walks in life, their individualities along with the movement. So, I really leaned into images that I felt spoke to, intimate moments, private moments, moments where they, were, with family and they weren't necessarily, on the front line. Yeah.
I can only imagine. I mean, with historical records, there's gaps. I mean, we see when they're sort of ready to present themselves for maybe a speech or some sort of event. But the moments that you're describing, we don't necessarily have a lot of access to. And so it requires a bit of imagination. I'm curious, like, how do you take this on? Where are you going to for references for some of these scenes where maybe, they would have been out of public sight? They maybe wouldn't want to have done their hair in a certain way or how people had been accustomed to seeing them, but rather how they would want to, be comfortable with family, for example. How did that sort of thought process trickle into the work that you were doing?
Yeah, and that's a great question because the documentation was limited, but having, naturally coiled and textured hair and understanding that for myself, and having great aunts and cousins and actually family members that lived in that space and time to, express to me the importance of, maintaining your hair at home and how you set it and how you, you prepped for the next day and how you slept on it. And, there's levels to this. And just understanding our human walk, as it pertains to just being human. And, we don't really deviate too far from, our prep for our personal time alone. As long as you understand your hair and what it does and what it can do and what will happen, then, I inferred there. Yeah.
Well, there was a huge number of wigs and pieces used for this production.
Yeah.
I'm told over 75. So would love to understand the thinking behind this. I mean, the inventorying of it, the ordering of items. Like, how did this come together? And did you have a team that was helping you to make this happen?
Yes, absolutely. My team was great. I had an awesome key, an awesome third. They rolled sleeves up. I had a great background coordinator. And, stylists that really came in and dove in and were excited to help me tell this story. I mean, they really worked and really helped to cultivate and shared their same experiences, and we all, brainstormed here and there for certain scenes. And yeah, so my team, I could not have done it without. Absolutely.
But I mean, this all comes with responsibility, and you being at the head of this, I mean, there's so much to contend with, particularly as it pertains to the passing of time. In the show, again, we're dealing with a lot of things that are happening. Mm-hmm. In particular, with Malcolm X being in jail, talk to us a little bit about the continuity for the passage of time there, the things that you're going through in terms of how these looks were coming together in communicating certain things visually.
Wow. So, you know, he was arrested with the conch, you know, with one picture image that we, you know, we chose to for our inspiration. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we wanted to show a passage of time for sure. And understanding that the conch was a chemically processed, you know, hairstyle. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he wouldn't have had time to go and get that done, apparently, you know, mm-hmm. like, so we needed to show the time lapse. And with that, that's the new growth that you see. And, you know, if you see the clip there, you'll see that his hair is extensive, is different from when he went in.
Yeah, as it would be. And again, only someone like yourself that has this experience, has this expertise, is thinking through some of these aspects where, again, if it were in different hands, these details would have likely been overlooked, let's be real, or not even covered at all.
Well, I needed to express that in that moment. We needed to, you know, Shannon, my director, you know, she felt just as passionate about us expressing the evolution of coiled, tightly coiled hair, black hair. You know, this is what happens. You know, it's not straightened anymore. So this is the new growth. This is our texture. This is what happens. This is what's underneath that. Mm. Yes.
Ugh, so thoughtful. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your favorite designs. Because, I mean, again, iconic figures, hairstyles that people have known and sort of associate with these different characters who are, of course, real people. But from your perspective, I mean, you were in the thick of it creating these looks. What was your favorite to do?
You're creating these looks. I mean, and learning as I was going along the way, too, you know, quite a bit. This is a tough question. You know, this is a tough one. I mean, you know, my favorite, let me see. I would have to say telling the story of the conch, you know, had to be my favorite. Just because of the expression, the journey there of Malcolm and, you know, and in expressing what our hair can really do, you know, the versatility of black hair, you know, how it could be styled in many ways, you know. So that had to be my favorite in the telling of the story. Styling, I would have to go with Coretta, the elegance and grace of Coretta.
And you guys nailed it. I mean, she is like a dead ringer in those moments.
Oh, thank you.
It's so impressive. Love to hear that you're saying that, because the sort of attention to detail immediately sort of beams across the screen. So curious about Coretta and that character development from a hair perspective.
You know, the images, the documentation, you know, it was more documentation for Coretta for sure over Betty, mm-hmm. in which made Betty's, you know, a bit challenging. But Coretta, I really wanted to capture her natural texture, the frizz, because again, our show was focused on them individually, personally, and I wanted her natural texture to ring through. And my version of that was a curly texture, and so I wanted it to live in real time, you know, as far as climate was concerned, if there was a moisture in the air, you know, for that to ring through Coretta, but also as if she has, you know, again, prepped her hair at night, you know, she pin curled it, you know, she maintained a polished and poised, you know, image, and elegance and grace was all over her. Confidence was all over her. So I wanted that to ring through, you know, with Coretta.
Yeah. And again, incredible success from that perspective.
Thank you.
talk to us a little bit, of course, talk to us a little bit about the use of wigs and pieces, extensions, and sort of what your process is for ensuring the integrity of the actor's hair. Oftentimes, this is not something that is thought of. There are so many stories of actors having their hair wrecked by people who are not familiar with the texture, not familiar with, again, using pieces, wigs, etc. Curious about sort of your thoughts helming this. How do you ensure that those things don't happen on your sets?
First off, you know, maintaining our actors' own hair is priority. So I navigate according to how much hair I have to maintain. Mm-hmm. So some actors come in with different lengths of hair, different textures of hair, you know. Mm-hmm. And so some of them are willing to cut. Some of them are like, no, I have, you know, I'm on another project. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know,
mm-hmm. I can't.
So maintaining what they come in with first and foremost, I use that as a base and then design around that, that, you know, that's covered. It's protected. What products we use, they send them home with products they can use while we're filming. As far as wig prep is concerned, if they are, you know, naturally textured, they're being braided, mm-hmm. you know, they're being braided down and that hair is not being touched, you know, except for, you know, maintaining scalp and, you know, things of that sort, but, and, or rebraiding, but we will braid them down mm-hmm. and leave that hair alone because we don't, yeah, it's all about protecting their hair.
Which again, I mean, bluntly, this is not something that has been top of mind for others, which is a real shame. And again, why we're so thrilled to be able to chat with you about these considerations that you're making. Talk to us a little bit about product on set. What were your like go-tos, must have, couldn't have enough of? Were there any brands in particular where you were like, this was it for us? Or was it not? I'd love to know.
Well, I used a lot of Carol's Daughter Mimosa for the press and curling of the wigs. I tried to, you know, really style the wigs as if we were in that time. So even Ultra Sheen, we had Ultra Sheen grease, you know, some preferences of, you know, or not, but we had Ultra Sheen and we had Carol's Daughter Mimosa that was on deck.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about with Ultra Sheen, for example, mm-hmm. historical accuracy, finding some of these products that maybe not as commonplace, not as popular. How does the team go about sourcing those things? Are you hounding people down to get some of the stuff? I'd love to understand that as well.
My background coordinator specifically, she saw that I wanted some Ultra Sheen and she went. And we're filming in Atlanta and she went on a mission. And she came back with four bottles that we went in on. You know, so yeah, she was key to getting me that Ultra Sheen.
Ugh, I love that.
They're not carrying it regularly, mm-hmm. but we're filming in Atlanta, so we found a couple spots that had it.
Mm-hmm. Again, that attention to detail, that's only happening when it's people that are, again, caring about this to the extent that you are. So love to see that. Love to hear that. Talk to us about some of, you know, your favorite moments from set creating. I mean, again, the hair is so integral to the storytelling. And I think that that's like immediately obvious from seeing clips and all of it. Would love to understand like your favorite moments that have been communicated visually from the work that you guys have done.
My favorite moment is, you know, actually the first time I wigged Maruche for Coretta. And there was an emotion there. It was emotion on just all across production, basically, like, wow, you know, and that was, it sent chills through me. And it's probably one of my most memorable moments on set. And then the second would be the conch, of course, just reliving that time, like us going back in that space and time and actually feeling it, you know, was one of my most memorable times. And then I'd have to say the march. Just had my team, the hands on the bodies that were there and all of us just really, you know, actually we felt like we were there, you know, and it was meaningful. It was, it took us back and then we reflected on where we were mm-hmm. present day. And it just really caused us to be reflective. Set, which was a wonderful takeaway you know, as far as the human experience is concerned, as far as hair, going back to hair, because I want to focus on the hair because I'm going all around and up the street, right? But the hair moments, yes, that, oh, the wedding, Betty's wedding, Betty and Malcolm's wedding. Yes, that was, I loved it. Oh. Yeah, we did the beehive for that. And so, yeah, that was a nice moment on set.
Well, I do just want to comment quickly that Ruche's transformation is incredible. When you were talking about it, I had goosebumps. I can only literally imagine the experience of being on set when this is the reveal is happening, because she really bodied that role. She looks so much like her. The resemblance is crazily sort of uncanny. And shout out to her because she's such a talent.
Yes.
I've loved her work.
Shout out.
Totally different from what she had done previously. And, you know, that's largely accomplished by the hair. And I'll just put that out there. She became her because of the work that you guys were doing.
Thank you.
But yeah, it's such a thrill to hear some of this because it is such a powerful series. There's obviously such historical significance, but there's a lot of resonance for the current moment that we're finding ourselves in, which brings me to, how are you feeling about the industry? How are you feeling about productions like this? Are you seeing that there's more interest, more work for people like yourself to be in places where, again, actors with textured hair are being thought of to the extent that you're talking about, where integrity of hair matters? I'd love just like a comment on sort of where we're at in the industry. And is entertainment improving?
We are, but we still have work to do. And yeah, I'll leave it there. Representation matters. It mattered then and it still matters.
Beautiful. Talk to us about what's next, Jesse. What do you got on the docket? What can you talk to us about?
I was going to say next, I'm scheduled to do Emperor of Oceans Park. So that's next.
Well, we will stay tuned. We will stay in touch. We will see what you're up to, and maybe we'll have you come back on. Before we let you go, Jesse, we are going to ask you our quick takes. These are the questions we ask all of our guests. Mm-hmm. You were talking about reflection. We want you to reflect just a little bit. The first question that I've got for you, what is the most unique style or fashion trend that you ever embraced?
Unique for me is my hair.
Okay.
I've always embraced my hair. Unique because it's mine. But fashion trend. I'm a lover of vintage fashion. So if we're going there, you know, since, you know, it was embedded in me, you know, as a little girl. So I'm a thrifter. So you'll find me in all types of patterns, colors, something old, you know, normally. But yeah, I guess that's unique as fashion. But yeah.
All right. What was the worst haircut that you remember having? And when did you have it? A lot of us have a lot of stuff held up in our hair. We like to reflect on that here on this podcast.
So I shaved my hair completely off.
Okay.
Like completely. Completely.
Okay.
In beauty school.
This was a choice. You were like, I'm going to give it a shot. Yep.
Okay. I was just like, yeah, let's just do it. It's only hair to grow back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't think that was the best choice for my facial features. Mm-hmm. But hey, I rock it. I wore it.
Unfortunately, there's only one way to find out, right? I mean,
it's only one way to find out.
And now you know. And so, yeah, I mean, we live, we learn, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Talk to us about your phone screen time. Are we crazy on the phone? Are you hardly ever looking at your phone? We ask this to sort of get it at the creative process. Some people are very into digital and some are very into analog. So where are we at with you?
I am not a phone person.
No? Okay. So screen time's low.
I am not. Prefaced with, you know, bear with me on this interview. I'm not. I am, you know, I'm open.
Well, you were talking about flipping through stuff, going to the library, enjoying touching things. So now it's all making sense. It's all coming together.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for making that connection.
That we try. We're all about it here. Mm-hmm. What was your earliest, or what is your earliest memory of your job as a cosmetologist? You talked briefly about getting started in cosmetology, going to certain salons. What is the earliest memory behind the chair after beauty school that you can recall?
Behind the chair after beauty school.
Any formative stuff?
Earliest memory.
Does anything come to mind? It's okay if not. We often, you know, we sometimes have to block stuff out because... you know, we got to keep it moving.
You know, I immediately go to all of my girlfriends that just used to let me play in their hair, you know, and they were my first customers, you know, and so my first clients, you know. So I immediately went back there and I was trying to think of some maybe god awful styles or something that I did that I needed to maybe redo, but I can't think of anything.
That's, you know, that's great. That's what, no, but that's the dream, Jesse. And I'm glad that you went to happy times with friends and girlfriends and all that good stuff. Last question before we let you leave. Mm-hmm. If you could teleport anywhere, where would you go right now?
I could teleport anywhere. Egypt. I know it's not, you know.
Okay.
But Egypt. Yeah.
Anything in particular? You trying to go see the pyramids? What's
the pyramids?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. No, I love that. Ugh. All right, Jesse, it has been a pleasure. Before we let you go, where can people find you? How can they discover your work? Are there Instagram accounts that they should be going to? Websites? Let them know.
My Instagram is Hair by Jesse Dean. They can find me there.
Boom. Easy. The dream. And we'll include it in the show notes. Jesse, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Come back anytime.
Thank you for having me. This has been a pleasure.
I mean, Jeff, recreating those looks for National Geographic. I mean, are you serious? What a cool, cool position to be in.
My mind is blown. I mean, the series is incredible. Mm-hmm. The way that it was accurate is uncanny. And again, a testament to her talent and the team. My mind was blown out from this conversation. I'm so, so in awe of everything that they're up to. And shout out to her for making this happen. And cannot wait to see more from Jesse.
Be sure to hit subscribe, rate, and review, and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok at Read the Tease, and send in questions to volumeup@thetease.com.
Volume Up is a Tease Media production. This episode was produced by Monica Hickey and Madeline Hickey. Brian Daly is our editor and audio engineer. Thank you to our creative team for the custom Volume Up theme song and for putting together the graphics for this episode.